of the Joint Ways and Means to order and open the work session for Senate Bill 5508, Sunny River Gorge County. Gordon, would you like to present the information we have here, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. At your places, you have a letter from Multnomah County on the Gorge Commission for your information. And then I have handed out to you a couple of handouts. One is the developmental performance measure that the agency put together on customer service following our public hearing in January.
Yes.
End of January. For your review as part of our work session, so we'll do that later on. I'm going to be working from my memo to the committee on the agency's budget that you have in front of you. So, beginning with the summary of the historic view of the Columbia River Gorge Commission in 1901, they had $666,061, and that is, it shows the legislatively adopted, approved, and then the governor's recommended for 03-05 at $748,316. You'll note that there are no FTE in this budget. That's because they are employees of the state of Washington. So you won't see them on our budget. The LFO recommended budget is $631,600, and we'll be going through the reductions as we move through the memorandum. So my recommended budget changes are, first of all, the technical adjustments that reduce the budget a total of $38,656. That's a little typo there. Inflation is $31,256 for both the joint program and commissioner expenses. The DAS assessment of $7,400 totals the $38,656. There are no vacancies. The subcommittee review. What I need then is a motion to approve the technical adjustments.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee approve the technical adjustments as presented by the legislative fiscal office.
Thank you. You've heard the motion, committee. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries.
LFO recommendation on policy package. Policy package 092 is a restoration of the 0305 impact of general fund reduction made in House Bill 5100, Section 2. I am recommending restoration of assistance to counties and alternative dispute resolution services only at $46,543. That would be a reduction then of $78,060. And I need a motion to approve that reduction.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the reduction in policy package 092 as presented by the Legislative Fiscal Office.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Objection. Motion carries.
Okay, the next thing on in the memo is a budget note, which this budget note has been approved by the co-chairs. It's the amount of $50,000 to be appropriated to the emergency board for allocation to the commission. The commission is directed to request half the funds from the e-board after providing a work plan and schedule for addressing the requirements to meet Oregon statutes regarding permit processing timelines. Number two, developing a process by which appeals are adjudicated by neutral third parties in the state where the subject property is located. Number three, working with congressional delegations to secure additional funds for economic development as authorized in the National Scenic Area Act. Number four, revising the guidelines to address the selection of finishes, colors, and surfaces in relationship to applying the definition of visual subordinate as it applies to the scenic area. Number five, streamlining the adjudication process so that an appeal can be resolved within 90 days and requiring consolidation of causes of action and or findings so that property owners do not face multiple appeals. And number six, implementing a fee schedule to recover a portion of operational expenses due to Klickitat County's failure to adopt ordinances. And then the second half of the funds may be requested from the e-board after submitting a report that the work plan schedule has been met. These items aren't in any prioritized order. They're just items that need to be addressed by the commission before you would release any or part of that $50,000.
Committee, I would like to ask Senator Farioli to come forward and give comments. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, State Senator Ted Farioli, District 30, serving all our parts of 12 counties and 34,000 square miles of the prettiest part of Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee. As I walked into the room and sat here, I wondered whether it was the L-tryptophan in the turkey or just the nostalgia I felt for this room that made me want to nod off in the front row here. I slept many a happy hour in this chair, especially during these afternoons in June when the window seems to let more solar energy in here than possibly is tolerable for the committee. So you have my full support in the work that you do down here. It's tough work, but I'm glad you're doing it down here. I've been on a 7-year learning curve with the Columbia River Gorge Commission, and I want to thank the committee for being responsive to the work that we did with the Legislative Oversight Committee. We had literally hundreds of hours of testimony in 3 different hearings that we did in the Columbia River Gorge area, which I think is really interesting and precedential. I would encourage by any means possible the continuation of legislative oversight, because it's only through interaction with the Columbia River Gorge Commission and the Washington State legislators that we will move forward on an agenda of making the Gorge Commission responsive to the needs of the community for the protection of the scenic and cultural resources and the administration of the Scenic Area Act. I think that's a real good process that we've been on. We've been learning a lot about authority and limitation, and those are the really critical elements that we all need to understand, because as the Legislative Oversight Committee met and had better interactions with the Columbia River Gorge area staff and other interested parties and legislators and the public, we've really learned that it's the gorge is ours to protect. There's no federal authority standing over us with a club. It's through the Bi-State Compact and that intergovernmental agreement that we are going to accomplish the protection of scenic and cultural resources, or it won't get done. So the responsibility really is ours. Even though the scenic area is a product of federal legislation, we have to remember that the Bi-State Compact is a product of state authority. And so that really, I think, puts the responsibility squarely on state legislators in Oregon and Washington to own the Gorge Scenic Area Act and the protections that it affords. Out of that Legislative Oversight Committee came a series of findings of fact, and I want to thank the committee for respecting the work of that committee and seeing so many of those findings expressed in the budget notes and in the budget considerations that you're making here. There are a couple of things that still need to be worked through in the future, I believe, particularly issues of jurisdiction for litigation. I mean, those things have come to us, and we've clearly got a conflict between the Oregon Constitution and the Washington Constitution relative to how we hear cases. The Court of Competent Jurisdiction for cases involving the Scenic Area Act or in the location where the Act has its headquarters in Washington. So it puts Oregon counties in the unenviable position of having their land use issues potentially divided or decided by a Washington state court. And I believe there's a problem there. I think we ought to try to address that. But that would require a modification of the Bi-State Compact. And at some point in time, I hope to meet with the Washington state legislators, me or my successors, and work out some agreements by which jurisdictional issues like that can be resolved so that court cases involving land in Washington get decided in a Washington state court, and court cases involving land in Oregon similarly get treated according to the constitutional requirements in an Oregon court or in the Oregon Court of Appeals. The other issue is always been a little bit nettlesome to me that not all the counties in the scenic area have adopted the Act. And I wish that we could exert more peer pressure on some of our cohorts in the Washington State Legislature to make sure their counties adopt the Act. It puts Oregon in an unenviable position to actually have to support land use planning in a Washington State. And we've done that. We've always shared the expenses, even Stephen, 50-50. That's the way the act is written, and that's part of our obligation, but I urge you to look at any mechanism that will help send a message to the state of Washington that it seems to be an unreasonable burden that Oregonians are paying, at least in part, for land use planning in Washington County. The question of visual subordination is one that I think I heard expressed in the budget note. It's one of those issues that I think if we work very hard on clarification that visually subordinate does in fact have less to do with the positioning of a structure on a property than it does the recessive nature of finishes and colors and textures and reflective surfaces, that will certainly help people resolve issues and conflicts and may make the whole issue of the scenic area overlay more palatable to citizens and less intrusive in their lives. I do want to thank the Gorge Commission staff and the administrator for helping move forward in a broad series of agreements that came out of our hearings process. I've seen real responsiveness in the desire to make the commission more responsive to citizens' concern, more capable of dealing with the issues that have confronted people that have to do with their perception of fairness and justice, an even-handed application of the statutes and the rules governing the scenic area. I think we are on an evolutionary track, and I think that without question in my 6 years or 7 years of experience with the Gorge Commission, I've seen progress. I've seen the honest effort to make things work better. Certainly, in at least my lifetime, we'll never deal with all the perceptions of unfairness or injustice. Not everybody will be convinced, no matter how well we try to make the Scenic Area Administration work, that the creation of the Scenic Area Act in itself is a reasonable and lawful thing. We'll never convince some people of that, and we'll never convince some people that the treatment that they have received at the hands of the Act was reasonable or fair. But that is true with seatbelt law. You know, that is true with every statute and every rule that we administer in our state government. I would suggest on balance we're moving in the right direction, and I encourage you to continue incenting movement in that direction through your actions. I support the idea of a holdback connected to a work plan. I think that is a way to make sure that we do see progress. I support the budget notes because they, in fact, send a message. Even though we all know that budget notes do not have the force of an effective law, they certainly do clarify what the intention and the expectations of investment of Oregon State tax dollars in this process is. So I wish you the best of luck with your work. I support the work of the committee. I am here to tell you that most of my constituents support the additional protections for the scenic culture and recreational attributes of the scenic area overwhelmingly. So I think we're doing good work by trying to keep this board and commission funded and directing them in the way that I think will make them more responsive to the public. And now, Mr. Chairman, that I've had my little soapbox, I'll try to answer any questions for the committee.
Thank you, Senator Crayoli. I have one question. I think Representative Morgan also has a question. The others. Your comment about the any appeals being handled in the Washington courts, that would be a policy decision which would have to come through a policy committee.
Mr. Chairman, actually it's a deeper question than that. It's actually a constitutional question that has to be ironed out probably, yes, at least in a policy committee, but I would think that you'd have to do that with good close coordination with the Department of Justice. Because we do have a very unusual animal here, the Bi-State Compact exists by authority of Congress. And as far as I know, we're free to agree to anything so long as they don't contravene the constitutional requirements of both states. But in this case, the states seem to have a conflict in the way their constitutions work. So it's a question for another venue and another day. I just bring it up in context of the fact that this is a long-term agreement that we have and a long-term charge that we've been given, and that's protection of the scenic area. And so I believe it's forever.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you. Senator Farioli, having you here in this room again, too, kind of is a deja vu situation, and I just want to reiterate once more how I appreciated serving under you when you sat in this chair and I sat in that chair, and also when I sat in that chair and you sat in that chair.
Oh, ma'am, I hope you don't take this amiss. When you sat in that chair and I slept in that chair, I have absolute confidence in your gavel, Madam Chair.
And I also do respect the work that you've done with relation to the Gorge Commission and the issues that have been raised in your district and the amount of work that you've done over your years of public service on the issue. And you probably have had a chance to take a look at the points that are raised in the budget. And I'm sure you're very well aware of the fact that we are going to request that the commission put in a work plan to deal with these issues. I'm wondering if you could, based on your experience and your familiarity with the issues, give us what you would expect to be a prioritization in terms of what the commission should be dealing with first and what should come through the work plan first.
Well,
and what kinds of things should be down further on the list.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I really wouldn't be prepared to do a prioritization, but I will give you at least a context for an answer to your question. When these Legislative Oversight Committee met and we developed our findings of fact, certainly we submitted those to the director and the members of the Gorge Commission. And they, in fact, developed their own work plan based on those findings of fact. And almost every one of those issues has found its way into a prioritized work plan or has found its way into a set of responses. Some of the things have already dealt with that were findings of fact. Others are on a list that they're in process of developing in their work plan, and others are yet to be addressed. But I would, rather than set a priority of those issues, I would simply say, as long as we agree that those are good and valuable objectives, and there's progress toward those objectives, I'm a very satisfied legislator. So if you have not had a chance to see the responses that were made by the Gorge Commission to the findings of fact, it makes interesting reading. And you will find in there a set of priorities that they are working on in response.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, nice to see you again here.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes, always a pleasure.
Can you talk to us a little bit about a couple of these budget notes? I was looking at it last night, and it surprised me. I'm specifically 4 and 5. Revising the guidelines to address the selection of finishes, colors, and surfaces in relationship to applying the definition of visual subordinate as applies to the scenic area is the first one, and the second one is streamlining the adjudication process so that an appeal can be resolved within 90 days and requiring consolidation of causes of action and or findings so that property owners do not face multiple appeals. Now, we talk a lot about not micromanaging agencies, and I know that this is an agency that has a lot of controversy that swirls around it, but I was just wondering specifically those two.
I'll try and put that in context, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dukes. One of the most nettlesome issues is that, like many terms of art in legislation, people have different opinions about what they really mean. Visually subordinate is one of those questions. If a structure appears on the top of a ridgeline, certainly it's more visible than if you put it behind the ridgeline. So you could argue that that is either visually subordinate or invisible to an observer below the ridgeline. It's clear to me that the statutes and the intent was never to make structures invisible, meaning they have to be built in a hole, but certainly they should recede on the landscape and not dry your eyes. So the question of visually subordinate lacking definition has been one of those problems. And so we've been urging the commission itself to come up with a definition of visually subordinate that deals with visually subordinate or visual subordination rather than invisibility. And I believe that all the encouragement that we can give them, we should give them, to focus on those issues of texture, selectivity, color, all of those things that can be manipulated that don't necessarily add up to invisibility, but surely do make a thing recede to the eye when viewed in the context of a landscape. So visually subordinate needs a definition, and we're encouraging the agency to define it. On the other issue of adjudication.
Is there an expectation of how we would like them to define it?
Ma'am, Mr. Chairman, to Senator Dukes, visually subordinate needs to deal with those things that I think are in the ordinary meaning of the word, including colors, textures, reflectivity, the kind of things that you can decide upon. And I think the Commission's already been responsive to that issue. They're looking for mechanisms to incent people to choose those colors, textures, and reflective surfaces that will make less of a visual impact on the landscape. What visually subordinate isn't is invisible. And so what is it? And that, I think, leaves a public debate opportunity open. And I believe we should focus on those things that are most easily controlled, and that's texture, color, and reflectivity. I hope that helps.
It does. The other one on the 90, is 90 days a statutory requirement somewhere?
Mr. Chairman, to the 90-day question about adjudication and adjoining or consolidation of causes, we felt that it would be a wonderful thing if people could have an issue. A time certain by which they can get an answer to start the clock. It doesn't mean that anybody would be prevented from an appeal, or that it wouldn't that a decision rendered in 90 days wouldn't lead to litigation, because certainly there will be appeals and litigation on decisions that are made by the counties and by the commission. But we're hoping that some of those timelines can be shortened so that people don't have an interminable process. The other part of that issue is the consolidation of causes, meaning the new trend in federal regulation and state regulation, I hope, is to have people express their concerns completely and early so that people, in response to that, can deal with those issues in a timely manner and completely. The problem that we kept encountering, or at least I've observed personally, is that often on an appeal situation, adjudication will happen, and it may go all the way to litigation, and you would believe that the issue would be resolved, except that on a rendering of what ought to be the final decision, somebody's could possibly appeal on a different cause of action and start the process over again. So instead of having an interminable process of appeal and litigation, and then depending on the outcome, possibly another appeal on a different related issue, all the causes of action and all the remedies sought ought to be specified at the beginning of a process. And then let us deal with those issues as we may, as the process allows us to do, and as the adjudicators decide is just and fair. But don't keep people locked in a loop of appeal and appeal and appeal so that there's no end of it. And I hope that that's the message that we're sending. Again, I'll remind the committee that these are like letters from mom. They don't have the force and effect of the law, but one would be wise not to ignore them.
Well, especially when you've got money tied to it, as this one does. Where did the 90 days come from?
I believe that 90 days is a reasonable period of time to adjudicate a question of an appeal. It isn't statutory, for as far as I know.
Thank you.
Senator Dukes, any other questions of the committee? Thank you, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, again, thanks for the indulgence. I really appreciate this. As you can probably tell, I really care about the Gorge Commission actions and the scenic area protections. And my goal here for the last 6 years has not been to overturn what's been accomplished, but to try to make it more responsive. Thank you.
You're heavily invested.
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I think next I'd like to ask Martha Bennett to come forward and I'd like to.
I'm going to bring Commissioner Robertson with me because controlling Commissioner Robertson is almost as hard as controlling Commissioner Dunn, who I think is here with me.
I don't know what would be maybe the best approach to this. We've been discussing, and that's one of the reasons we were late getting started with LFO as to some of our options that we could work on for these restrictions. And I guess I'd ask Representative Morgan, why don't you lay out some of the things we've I know you took pretty good notes on it.
Well, Representative Johnson asked me to ask a question for the record, and she's been called away to another meeting. Would you allow me to ask that question now of Ms. Bennett? Representative Johnson handed me this packet of three pages, and on the last page, it's a briefing on your office move.
Yes.
And it says under the last section, under a heading called Reduce Services, to pay this additional rent, the commission will make the following changes in programs. And there's three bullet points. And the first one says, reduce public outreach publications for plan review. And then if you go over to this brown colored page.
Right.
There, which is entitled Major Accomplishments of the 0103 Biennium, there's a section down at the bottom that says Improved Public Involvement, and it said the Commission's public outreach efforts have focused on three major goals: improving working relationships with the media, soliciting public involvement in plan review, and providing general information to citizens. And Representative Johnson's question was, considering that you have reduced services in public outreach publications for plan review, how do you reconcile that with your goal of soliciting public involvement for plan review?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I'm Representative Johnson in your absence. The situation related to our office move was pretty drastic, and I wouldn't want to overstate it, but I also wouldn't want to underplay what happens when you have employees who are exposed to asbestos by failure of your landlord to actually manage the building. So when we put those documents together, we had concentrated much of our effort in the first 18 months of the biennium in public involvement for plan review, but we were planning two new publications, just general publications, that we had to reduce. We still did active media work, did a lot of solicitation with counties and other kinds of things to go out to. For example, we went out and talked to a bunch of Rotary clubs. Anything we could do for free to solicit public involvement in plan review, we still conducted. But what we didn't do is pay the $5,000 publication cost for the two general circulation newsletters we were going to do. So we still worked hard, but we weren't able to do it in print.
Okay, so but there still was a significant amount of outreach. You just didn't have these publications in place.
Correct.
And there was two publications that you canceled.
Yeah, we were going to do two newsletters, one in January and one in May, that we just weren't able to do because of the office move.
Okay, thank you. Now, if I might continue with my questions. The discussion we were having was around the amount that is appropriated to the emergency board.
Yes.
And so we had some kind of questions about how that would work. And what we're wondering is, of the total, the $631,600 that's in the appropriation for the proposed budget, does that get used like a 50-50 split between the years of the biennium? Do you use half of it each of the fiscal years?
Yeah, let me explain a little nuance that's related to the difference between how Oregon budgets and how Washington budgets. You will give us a biennial appropriation. Washington will give us a biennial appropriation split into 2 years. So what we'll do is we'll sort of, from a management perspective, take a similar approach to Oregon's as we're assigned in Washington, because they'll actually adopt it. So, yes, we'll split it between the 2 years, but a lot of it will depend on what the Washington legislature does in terms of assigning us funds in FY04 versus FY05. So it never works out to be completely a 50-50 split. Often Washington will give us more money in 1 year versus the other, and that's how we'll think of the Oregon money as well, because when the biennium ends, the $2 have to match up.
Okay, but as a kind of a quick and dirty analysis, a 50-50 split is a reasonable way to describe it.
Yes.
So you'd look at using from the Oregon side about $315,000, $316,000 a year out of the appropriation.
Yes.
So what is going to be the impact on your budget of, and what I'm considering here is the unfolding of the work plan. If the if we were to withhold, say, $100,000 of the money to the e-board pending progress on the work plan to the budget notes, what would be the impact on your budget? What would be the things that we would want to consider?
I think the most significant thing, Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, is that the larger dollar amount, the larger percent of a jar budget that you give to the e-board, the more we have to think in terms of what's the probability that we'll get all of that money, and so that we manage to actually come in budget. If it's a $50,000 level, then we'll make one kind of staffing and management decision. The larger that number becomes, the more likely we're going to look at layoffs because of the uncertainty of the e-board process. And the consequence of that is that we'll make less progress, frankly, towards the work plan because we'll probably make a more aggressive staffing reduction to make sure that we don't end up over budget. And I guess, you know, I will make that recommendation to the commission. The commission will ultimately decide. So I might ask Commissioner Robertson, who sits on our Planning Finance Committee, if I'm reading that correctly. But I think, frankly, at a level of the budget that's around 5 or 6%, then we'll probably be able to keep staffing levels at the level that we would anticipate that we would get that funding. But I think the larger the amount, the more we would assume that we won't get it all. And so we'll have to make larger staffing reductions to make sure we come in under budget.
Well, I'm having a little difficulty in seeing the logic trail there. And let me tell you kind of how I'm thinking about it, and then maybe that'll help us come to some kind of an understanding here. But my feeling is that if you have $631,000 that you're talking about,
right,
total on the Oregon side of the budget, you're talking about dividing that evenly between the two fiscal years. So round numbers, you've got $315,000,
right,
in each of the fiscal years.
Right.
And if there's $100,000 that is put in the e-board with an earmark on it, so it can't go anywhere else, it can either go to the agency if the work plan is completed satisfactorily, or it sits in the e-board until November when it can be released back into the general fund. So those are the two options from our point of view. And then if we were to lay out a plan where we said, we have given you these directions in budget notes for areas that we are hoping to see you do your work in, that you would come into an emergency board meeting, say, for example, the September meeting,
sure,
with the work plan laid out, and we would release at that point, say, one-third of the money.
Right.
And then we would ask you to come in somewhere in the midpoint of the interim and give us an update on where you are according to the time frames that you submit in the work plan. Mm-hmm. And we would submit the second third of the money to you, release the second third of the money to you. And then you would come in at some point towards the end of the interim or whenever you finish the substance of the work plan and have the last third of the money released to you. How would that cause you to have to lay people off?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, a lot of the problem is the relationship with the state of Washington. So if you hold back $100,000 and you release it over time, and let's just say that we, for sake of discussion, that you approve the work plan and you release the first third of the money, and we get to the midpoint and you think that we're doing a great job and you release the next third, but we get to the last third. Not only two things happen, is your failure to release that money will trigger a dollar-for-dollar reduction from the state of Washington in terms of the money that we're being asked to spend. So we get a double hit right there. And second, we'd have to absorb it in a much shorter time period, which would cause a much... What we would try to do is some risk assessment of what's the risk that we won't get any portion of this and manage the agency to that risk level throughout the biennium so that we don't have to take twice as big a hit if we're two-thirds of the way through the biennium and we don't meet your expectations and then have to absorb twice as big a reduction in a much shorter time period.
So are you then saying that you would bring a work plan to the legislature that you knew you couldn't complete?
Absolutely not, Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan.
Then
absolutely
I'm
not.
Still missing out here on why you would not, why you would think you would have to not budget for receiving the full amount of the money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I mean, I guess our concern at that point would be just the whole e-board process and needing in this time to come back and ask for more money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, Dave Robertson, member of the Gordon Commission. I'm also a member of the Planning and Finance Committee of the Commission, which does a lot of the budget overview and making sure that we're on track. I think it's just a matter of prudent budgeting as an agency that I believe we would definitely strive to achieve the work plan laid out, and we would develop the work plan certainly with that in mind, that at the end of the day we would have that done. I think as an agency that's trying to make sure we're managing the budget adequately, we try to be a little bit conservative so that, and that might mean not staffing up as much as we need to get so that we don't get into a situation as we did a couple of years ago. I think it was more than 2 years ago, it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I first started, where we were actually slightly over budget and we had a real problem on our hands with both the states. So I think we since that time we've tried to be very cautious in how we budget and making sure that we're able to get where we need to go, but do it in a way that doesn't leave us hanging if a certain potential risk factor actually happens. So some of these items have things that are potentially, depending on how the committee decides to measure them, within the control of a different agency or Congress, and we will certainly do everything we can to make those happen, but we've got to try to be somewhat prudent in making sure that we don't have to come back and say, yeah, we're over budget now because of, for whatever reasons we didn't meet this. But so that, I think that's what Martha's trying to convey, is we want to be conservative, we want to make sure that we get there and do it in a way that if we can send some money back to you at the end of the day or just hit the mark, then we prefer to do that than be in a situation where we would be in the opposite.
Well, I respect what you're saying, but from the point of view of the job of this committee, we have the job of making sure that the issues that have been raised during the budget hearings are resolved, or in a reasonable way, progress is made towards resolution of them. And with the one thing that clearly is out of your control is the issue of negotiating with our federal partners on the funding that is still outstanding to the commission. And I would imagine that your work plan wouldn't include you going to a place where you actually were certain that you would receive that money, but it would certainly include some actions that you'd take to move the issue along. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there has to be some realism on this side of the desk as well as on your side of the desk, and that we're not asking you to walk on water. We're just asking you to come up with a work plan that makes reasonable movement in these areas and to accomplish the things that you do have control over within defined time frames. And we have to be able to have an incentive in place for you to accomplish those goals.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I certainly agree with the incentive approach. I think it's worked in the past. It's been a good partnership. It gives us a chance to come back and check in with you on progress. I know that this agency has been one that has, I think, benefited a lot from a greater working relationship with the legislature. So I think the concept of a holdback is not something we have any objection to. In fact, I think it really helps us stay on task. I think it's the size of that holdback and how you plan for there is a risk out there that for some reason, whatever that might be, that holdback might not come through. So whether it's our performance or overall state budget realities, I think the larger that gets, the more prudent it is from an agency management standpoint to be more conservative with how you plan to get to the targets, and that might involve not staffing up as much, so that but still focusing in and drilling down and try to get those jobs done.
I would just add that this budget will be based on outcomes, which I think we're saying pretty clearly, and there's no intention on. I don't believe on this committee, on my part for sure, I don't believe the co-chairs, that putting your board in a position where they are underfunded. But we are very sincere about making sure that we have outcomes as we spend the monies. And the key part, I believe, as Representative Morgan clearly stated, is that you will be presenting us a work plan with time frames in it. And we'll negotiate or we'll discuss that at the whatever time frame. I think Representative Morgan is suggesting the September e-board. And then we move forward up from there on timelines of, we're suggesting, every 6 months.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. We certainly wouldn't expect otherwise, and we've had a great working relationship with this committee over the years and with the interim committee as well, and I certainly hope we didn't imply that, and we certainly don't think that this is anything but a list of items that are measurable and doable and keep us on a track to continue the progress we've been making over the last 4 or 5 years. Certainly don't want to claim credit for just my tenure, but the last four that I've been on the commission, certainly. So,
let me just ask if you've got any comments you'd like to make.
Mr. Chair, I would just note that most of these six items, as Senator Ferrioli noted, are items that we have on our agenda already. I would just make a couple of notes and actually ask all of you just one brief question. For example, on the first requirement, the legislature has taken the first step with doing this by passage of Senate Bill 310, which requires the Oregon counties to comply with the state statutes related to the 150-day rule. Just a couple other notes. The second item related to neutral third-party adjudication, this is one. We're taking a first step next month when we do some reform of our rules, but I think this is the one item that I would tell you that probably cannot be accomplished. Completely accomplished in a two-year period. So although we can show you a work plan that's going to move us in that direction, I doubt we'll be done in the next biennium. It's possible, but not. On item number four, I would say two things are in process right now that I want you to be aware of. First, the commission is right now, as yesterday they held a hearing on the most controversial guideline related to visual subordinates, which has to do with how you put a house on a property. It's called siting to minimize visibility. The commission held a hearing on removing that language from the plan, so you give some more flexibility in where projects can be sited. And the second most important thing they did yesterday was adopt some new requirements that we develop a handbook to assist property owners, which will essentially create kind of a regulatory safe harbor if a property owner follows the handbook, and it will have things in it like approved colors, finishes, landscaping, then they will have a much less difficult time in the process.
And if I might just interject, Mr. Chair, I would, as you go through this process, ask you to recall very vividly the comments that Senator Ferrioli made in his discussion of the whole concept of what visually subordinate actually means, and that the focus of the discussions in the regulations not be around invisible, that they be around things such as exterior paint covering and window reflectivity and types of surfaces and finishes and those kinds of things.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, Dave Robertson again with the Commission. That's exactly what we were trying to discuss yesterday. Just a real quick snapshot. I think Senator Ferrioli gave a great history of this issue. It was one where we've got two competing standards that have caused a lot of confusion: site to minimize visibility, visual subordinates. And we found through our several appeals that we've had, we've tried to clarify what that means. And we've clarified it over the last 3 years as visual subordinates and site to minimize does not mean invisible. That still, according to the counties who deal with most of the landowners who bring in applications, it's still very confusing for them. So what we're proposing to do is to take the site to minimize issue out, the language out of the plan, so that it's very clear that visual subordinates means what the commission has been saying through its appeals decisions over the last several years, that there's a box of tools out there which includes where you site the house, the color you paint the house, whether there are big trees in front of the house, whether you need to plant new trees in front of the house. There are a whole host of tools you can use to achieve that. And I think the management plan changes we discussed yesterday, and that we will actually have a decision on June 10th, will the goal of those is to clean that up, make it much simpler and easier to understand, and coupled with the handbook that actually is posted in English for people out there who are trying to build a house, explaining what this means. I think our goal is to really try to be very specific so that landowners know what they need to do, and once they hit the mark, they don't have another set of expectations come around and hit them in the rear end because it wasn't something that they understood between these two competing sets of languages in the plan. So we're definitely, I think, right on track with where Senator Farioli is asking us to go, and hopefully the outcome on the 10th will be one that is beneficial for folks in the Gorge.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments, and I just would like to also add for the record that we just came through an issue with the siting of a home that was actually just a replacement dwelling, and got into a huge wrangling discussion on trees in front of the home. And so I would hope that as you go through and do your defined criteria for visual subordination, which I think is very wise, that you will pay attention to the issues that are germane to visual subordination and the issues like trees that were not ever there to begin with, mm-hmm. as not being germane to the issue.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that is also an issue that we're discussing in plan review, is how to treat those replacement homes and replacement homes that are lost due to a disaster, like a fire, like this particular home that I know you heard about if you're hearing, and other replacement homes that are a choice of a landowner, that they would like to change it to make it larger, to move it slightly on the property. So those are the issues we're wrestling with. We haven't come to any conclusions yet, but I think within the next month we'll have some decisions that help clarify that as well, so that we don't face that uncertain problem again in the future.
Well, and I think
I appreciate that
as part of your work plan, the e-board subcommittee that has jurisdiction over your agency would be very interested in seeing how that is resolved.
Okay, we'll make sure we report
In
that.
An unrelated point, Mr. Chair, if I might, just referring to the second issue here on appeals that are adjudicated by neutral third parties, please be aware that the budget note doesn't say that there needs to be a process in place. It just says that you need to be in the process of developing a process.
I appreciate that, because I do think that this one is one where there are significant legal questions and significant rules reform that will need to be achieved. And this is also the item on this list that has the largest potential financial impact, and we'll want to make sure that we give you a clear work plan that identifies those financial impacts as well, because using third-party hearings officers instead of the commission won't come free, and we need to give you a realistic fiscal impact of that. And so I think there's quite a bit of work to be done in that. And the other thing is, we might suggest, and we haven't thought about this yet, some kind of demonstration project that would help us get some information about whether this is really a good idea or whether this has enough flaws that we don't want to pursue it.
Let me just get us on the same page if I can. On number four, we're suggesting that at the end of the first sentence it says colors and reflective surfaces.
I make typos myself. I didn't see that one at all.
And on the number five, the second sentence where it says 90 days, replace that with more reasonable time frames.
Mr. Chair, thank you for that. I was just conferring with our attorney, and on average, our current process takes on average, not every case, but on average, it's about 120 days, and probably somewhere between 90 and 120 is the right number. But thank you.
And I'd also like to clarify on number six, the implementation of a fee schedule with Kuskokwim County. Would that be an issue that you could resolve?
Mr. Chair, we'll have to go back to the Gorge Commission. As many of you know, the Commission recently talked about this and on a narrow vote decided they didn't want to immediately pursue it, so I'll need to go back to talk to them about the concerns and issues that you have raised here. And I actually have one question on this, if I might, which is if we were to raise fees to the point at which you did a complete cost recovery, I mean, it does say a portion here, so I'm not trying to nitpick, the fees would be extremely high in Kuskokwim County. And my question is just that I think that we would try to aim for something that sort of made sense from the perspective of the scenic area as a whole. It might get us a portion of the way, but I presume that that you want to see a substantial portion, but that a portion is what you really mean, I guess.
I think it is a sore spot with Oregon that we're paying the fees. And I think we'd be interested, just as a suggestion, that the fee be high enough to be an incentive for that county to do the loan.
Okay.
Representative Krieger?
Chair, I'm still a little apprehensive with this agency after hearing their budget 2 years ago and where we are now and the fact that Senator Mesley testified about his 8 years. We're expecting to get there in 90 days. In the meantime, for 8 years, the public has been subject to kind of arbitrary regulations and lives ruined, in my opinion. It might be interesting to note, under the present system that we just got out of, everybody in this room would be out of this building with term limits before they ever got to the point where they're supposed to be going and should have been able to get there within a very short period of time.
Okay. Thank you. Did you have more comments to make?
Yeah, I think we get it.
I will.
Okay. I'm going to let our staff.
Mr. Chair, could I offer some suggested language for the first paragraph?
Sure.
What I would propose is that we amend the first paragraph to say the amount of $100,000 is appropriated to the emergency board for allocation to the commission. The commission is directed to request one-third of the funds from the emergency board at its September 03 meeting upon agreement on a work plan and schedule for addressing, and then list the points. And then also some additional language that at some agreed upon point, that would be halfway through the process, we would release the second third of the money upon showing of the agreed upon progress. And then at some point towards the end of the interim, we would release the rest of the money upon showing of appropriate progress in the work plan.
Representative, I'm a little confused because I thought I heard you say the second half of the funds, and I think you.
I think at the bottom, Mr. Chair, we could put the second one third of the funds may be requested from the e-board after submitting a progress report on the work plan, and then insert, and the final one third may be requested when the work plan is, or upon showing of substantial completion.
Which I'm thinking out loud here.
Mr. Chair, that we need to have some expectations that halfway through the interim, they will come back in and request the second third of the money, and then towards the end of the interim, they would come in and request the final third of the money.
Right. Did I say April? Progress report in April 2000.
Okay.
And the next one in November?
Four, yeah. And the final one third in November? Or whenever. It could be September, as early as September, so maybe we should put September in that any time thereafter.
Whenever that e-board meets.
Could be September, could be November, could be January, if. they're working heavily towards.
Okay, so could we say something like the second one-third of the funds may be requested from the emergency board in April of 2004 after submitting a report that the work plan schedule has been met, and the final one-third could be requested in the September 2004 or later e-board after submitting a report that the work plan schedule has been met. And I would assume that we should be open to the possibility that all of these things won't be able to be completed in the interim. And so I would hesitate to say that the final third would be contingent on completion of the work plan. So I think what we want here is significant progress.
Is that workable? Senator Miss Riley, Representative Morgan, thank you. And I think September of 2004, I think, will help us manage the resources much better than if it was later. So I think that's very helpful.
Mr. Chair, why don't we have Susie play with the language and bring it back to us and see how it goes. I've got folks I think are going to have serious heartburn over this.
Well, the best we could do is
conceptual, and then see what happens. That work?
There are folks in our caucus who actually care a whole lot about this commission in a different way than people who have perhaps sat in the hearings might view them. And we have a caucus tonight, so it would be better for me to have them have an opportunity to see this stuff before they just jump on me.
Okay.
I can do that. But I want to make sure that Susie has very clearly what we've got in mind.
I think I've got it.
I mean, personally, I'm having some difficulty with $100,000. I was having trouble swallowing at 50, but was going to swallow. So I was surprised at the 100,000. So.
Well, I want to say, Senator, the difference, though, is that we break it up.
And I understand that, but to me that looks a whole lot like what you're all always telling me when I've got something is we shouldn't be micromanaging. So it's not to say we can't have a conversation and can't, you know, maybe I'll get there because I certainly sat here at last session through the whole thing and have a great deal of respect for Senator Ferrier and what they're working on and stuff. And the patience he's had, quite honestly.
I'd like to put this in the context of similar to maybe what we went through with ODF&W, which also had a lot of emotion with it last session. I think we are, no doubt about it, in a more of a micromanaging sense. But we're trying to see a product that, I'm trying to get the bilge on my side as well to show that we will have a product and that we will see progress. And what I want to make sure is that the timelines will work for them as well as work for us.
And I appreciate that. The further we went into this, the more I realized that you might get votes on your side, but you may come up short on our side, so... Just let us have the conversation.
That's a reality. Yeah, no, that's fine.
See where we are at the end of that.
Ms. Jordan, would you like to read back to us what we have?
Mr. Chair, could I just thought of one thing that really ought to be in here. And that is that the allocation is earmarked within the e-board for this use, that it can't be used for anything else.
Mr. Chair, that would be in the bill itself.
Okay.
So we'll get to that.
Okay.
Okay. This is conceptually. The language that I presented was approved by the co-chair, so these changes or modifications would have to be approved anyway. So working with the language gives us time to do that process as well. So the amount of $100,000 is appropriated to the emergency board for allocation to the commission. The commission is directed to request one-third of the funds from the emergency board at its September 2003 meeting upon agreement of a work plan and schedule for addressing the six requirements. And in section... 4, we added the word reflective after and at the end of the line. So revising the guidelines to address the selection of finishes, colors, and reflective surfaces. And then
the term reflectivity of surfaces?
Probably.
And reflectivity. Streamlining the, in number 5, streamlining the adjudication process so that an appeal can be resolved within a more reasonable time frame and requiring consolidation of causes of actions and of findings so that property owners do not face multiple appeals. And then the last paragraph, the second one-third of the funds may be requested from the emergency board in April 2004 after submitting a progress report on the work plan, and the final one-third in September 2004 or a later e-board when the work plan is, when the work plan and schedule has been completed.
I would amend the last part to say that the final third in the September 04 e-board or a later e-board in that interim showing again substantial progress against the time frames.
Okay.
Acceptable.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is that what we talked about? Is the committee comfortable with that? Get it as tight as we can. So you can turn back.
Got it. Do you want to make a motion?
No, not at this point.
Okay.
What we can do, though, is have a motion for vacancies, since we don't have any against.
There are no vacancies. The bill, here you go.
Accept that report.
The amendment in the bill?
Amendment.
The bill amendment?
Why don't we wait on
you? You want to hold us, but I will just point out to you then, in the bill itself, on the third page of the memo, in bold underneath the section, in addition to and not in lieu of any other appropriation, there is appropriated to the e-board for the biennium out of the general fund the sum of, that would change to $100,000 for allocation to the Columbia River Gorge Commission for operating expenses, and that would be then set aside for the gorge in that language as in adopting that language.
And let's pull that motion too, but we could.
But you can go to the performance measure.
Performance measure. Boy, we great minds think alike. What is the committee's wishes on the performance measure?
The measure that I, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the performance measure that I put in front of you is a supplement to the one that the agency presented during its hearing, and that's on page 116 and 117 under the agency summary tab of your notebook. The other performance measures that they presented. And then this was another performance measure alternatives for customer service that you had requested. So this is an opportunity to discuss that with the agency, and then we can move to adoption of those that you are comfortable with or give direction to make additional refinements for the next budget cycle.
Mr. Chair, if I might comment.
Absolutely.
I think that these additional measurements for the time involved in development reviews are good places to start with this, and I do thank the agency for putting these on the table here, that it's through these kinds of measurements that we're going to be able to gauge how the system is being refined to be more responsive over time.
Okay. Any other comments? Are we ready?
And Mr. Chair, do you have a preference on which of the alternatives would be more useful to you as legislative members?
The given that we're working on a 160-day statutory requirement, I'm thinking that. Let And then I look at they think they can get 100% of their development reviews issued in 150 days, so that may be the one to start with and see if we can hit that 150. And then maybe with the possibility in future biennials, seeing if we can't move that back in time.
So smaller.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it would be valuable to know how they fit on the time frame. In other words, use all three.
Oh, sure.
Just track those.
Mr. Chair, it certainly is possible for us to track all three.
Okay. I assume this is on a computer, so it's
none of it is. This is actually a fairly easy thing to track.
So, is it possible just to have all three of them be performance measures?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, the only caution I would have is that as we finish the amendment of the management plan and we revise our own ordinance, we may change the deadline. Some issues, one of the things we've learned is that in working with other state agencies, when sometimes you're waiting on them, that process takes a long time, so the number becomes a commitment to applicants, and you don't want to overcommit. So we may change that 72 number, but we could track both 150 days and our own internal deadline and see how they match up, if that would be what you're looking for.
Well, and I'm wondering how this is going to look, too, because you're going to have, you know, all of the statistics for 72 and 102 are also going to be in 150.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it's kind of cloudy. What about some kind of thing where we go with 150 with a backup display of that breaks out, you know, by how many went through in 72 and how many went through in 102?
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. Or we could give you the average or something like that so you could see what the average number of days is. So you might know that 100% are coming in at 150, but the average is 92 or something. So you would get some feel not only for how often we need 150, but what the average time is. And that would, if that number goes down, one would think that we're getting more efficient.
Well, I think, though, that that I would be more interested in actuals than averages, because with averages, you may not be dealing with the bulk of them. You may be just, there might be one that skews it.
Right. Okay. Well, and there often are one or two cases that skew the whole number.
Well, I was just thinking, performance measures are meant to gauge how they do something that the legislature thinks they should be doing, like how they reach the goal or whatever. And looking at these, I don't know what the goal is.
Shortest time as possible, I think.
So, I mean, we've given them sort of three targets, and I guess we hope they hit one.
Well, this is development review, and appeals are a separate.
But all of these say the same thing except for the number of days. So if I were the agency, I don't know what message I would think the legislature was sending me. I probably would aim for the 150 days and think if we hit that, we're probably doing okay. But my sense is maybe that's not where you're hoping they'll go.
Well, I think that the discussions that we had in the public hearing were that we were interested in having the agency be aggressive in shortening up the amount of time that people were in the permitting process. And so if I'm not mistaken, this is a proposal to try to quantify what proportion of, what percentage of the development reviews fall within, pick your time frame here, whichever one of these we think is the most effective.
Okay, so which?
And I'm assuming that because we have this 160-day statutory requirement for permits to be processed, that
then 150 makes sense. Probably more sense than the other ones do if the statute says 160.
But I think it would be valuable for us to know over time how the agency was moving, and so that was why I proposed a display underneath of that showed, you know, breaking it down into maybe putting some kind of 70, how many went through faster than 70 days, how many went through faster than 149 days, so that we had an idea of where they were on the scale of going through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I just think it's probably easier just to pick a target for them, but I'm probably not going to watch this quite as closely as you will, so whatever it is you'd like to do.
I'm interested in seeing and in improving those timelines as we go along. And so by doing it, breaking it down, I think we'll see better indication of whether we're gaining on the timelines. And that's not necessarily an indication that your agency, you made a good point. You could have other issues that are holding up the timelines as well. But it still would be good information for us to have.
We'd still like to make the commitment to the applicant every time, but sometimes we're waiting on somebody else for a piece of information.
Well, and I think, Mr. Chair, that we can use that information if there's things that we can do in this process to help with the coordination, and the agency could use the information also in terms of coordinating with the other jurisdictions.
Okay. Are we clear on that? Dr. Ball, I'll just say
clear. Would you like a motion on the performance matter?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that we accept the alternative 3 on the performance measures and accept the performance measures as amended.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Further discussion of the motion? Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries. And that should conclude our work for today. With that, we'll close the work session and adjourn the committee meeting.